Welcome to the John Gambling Show with special co-host, Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
People want to make it work. They want to make it work together. And I will protect their rights and the rights of everybody.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the John Gambling Show.
What the city should be doing are those things that are absolutely critical where we can do it better than the private side.
Now, with New York's only local news talk morning radio program, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Yes, indeed. Bill Rock, you are right. It is Friday. Happy Friday, Mr. Mayor, and good morning.
Good morning. Do you know what's happening this weekend, John?
Let's see here. Parade.
Well, there's a parade in Rockaway, St. Patrick's Day Parade on Saturday. There's a parade on Staten Island, St. Patrick's Day on Sunday. But as important, I want to say more important because I don't want to be very careful. St. Patrick's Day, which incidentally,
very important.
All my Irish friends say maybe they have a little parade in Ireland and it's not that big a deal. And we have 4 or 5 weekends of St. Patrick's Day parades, which in all fairness are fun.
Hey, we're a big city.
Started last weekend. But it's time to change your clocks.
That's right. Spring ahead.
Spring ahead, fall back.
Is that why you have brought your paraphernalia with you this morning?
No, I have 2 Duracell batteries right here to remind me, to remind you, that at this time of the year, every time when we go from daylight saving time or into daylight saving time, you should change the batteries in your carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. Saves lives.
Yeah, well, how many times do we hear the story in fires where they had batteries have been taken out?
Or absolutely. Dead? I mean, you know, don't you want to live? I mean, people say, oh, no, don't be melodramatic. Just look at the numbers. You're right. Every year we have these disasters. If the smoke detector or the carbon monoxide detector had gone off, and on the front page of El Diario the other day, there was a picture of a family who was saved by the carbon monoxide detector sounding. And the fire department showed up, ventilated the place.
You never hear those stories because they do the job.
Well, this was on the front. That's why our bravest. You know, most times the things they do save lives, and you don't think about it. Only if it's dramatic do we.
Used to be a program that you could go to your local firehouse and they would provide you with the battery.
And Duracell is going to do that. I'm glad you mentioned 50,000 free batteries. Where do you get them? How would you know where in each 2 places in each borough you could go to get Duracell free batteries for your
a
smoke detector?
A number is coming to mind. It's a maybe.
If you 1-2-3-1-1. 311 is all you have to do.
Good program, obviously.
It is. And all kidding aside, I want to thank Duracell for doing it. 50,000 batteries for people that can't afford it. But most people have these batteries and change them.
I got to say some good things. You know, it's easy to criticize what goes on around here. But I have to tell you that Monday's snowstorm, the sanitation, Daugherty and the boys did a great job.
You know, female reporter here for one of the TV networks, very famous, I don't want to embarrass her, said to me she was driving into the city from, Westchester or Nassau. So when she crossed the city line, you knew you were in the city.
I've told you the same thing.
All the time people say that.
It really is so noticeable, you wonder why others don't.
I'm not here to diss anybody else. I'm just telling you, our sanitation department does a great job. It's a well-run agency. John Daugherty worked his way all the way up. He's one of, I think, the 3 different commissioners we have. He and Parks, Adrian Benepe, and Police Commissioner Kelly worked their ways all the way up, and both Daugherty and Kelly have had the top job twice.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I knew John had done it more than once.
Yeah, it's the second time he's been commissioner. And it's a well-led union, Harry Nespoli. I think the Senate, I might have the numbers slightly wrong, but in 40 years, they've only had 4 different presidents. And the men, happy. It's a good-paying job. It's a job with a lot of responsibility, and you really make a difference. And they did a great job.
They certainly did. Speaking of, you have done, you mentioned Ray Kelly and the New York Police Department, and under your leadership have done a great job, obviously, in running the crime stats down, murders are down. But, it's understandable for Ray Kelly and his team to do it. But I didn't realize that the mayor's office was involved in crime reduction. Our friend Ed Schuyler.
It would be, Stu said to me as walk-in, you will never mention Ed Schuyler, and it would be wrong. Ed would be embarrassed if you mentioned it.
I know Ed pretty well from.
I would bet you anything, although he'll probably say no. He is listening right now with a smile on his face. Yeah, what Skylar was in or going into a restaurant, somebody grabbed somebody's cell phone. He ran, grabbed the guy, held him down, got the cell phone back. Some of the guy's buddies came, and the guy wiggled loose and ran off. And they, I saw a picture, a sketch of the in paper. But, you know, Ed did what just instincts. Some people do it and some people don't. Ed's instincts were to, you don't have time to sit and analyze whether it's safe or not, whether you should go left. You just, some people have the instincts to go do it.
I saw a mugshot of a guy that they think might have been the person.
I saw a sketch in the paper.
But I don't know if they caught anybody.
As far as I know, they haven't. Okay. But, you know, and the woman said that she felt better about New York and safer in New York because of it. And I remember that's exactly what happened many years ago. The mother of my two daughters was wheeling one of my daughters in a stroller, and somebody grabbed a chain off her neck, ripped it off, and started running. And people grabbed the guy and got him, and other people took her into a coffee shop, and they gave her, you know, calmed her down with coffee and a donut. God, would that be good right now? Not good for my waistline. And and she said, you know, afterwards you felt better about it. Unfortunately, crime is a fact of life, but you know, it's fascinating. People always say to me, oh, with the economy down, crime's going to go up. If you take a look, there is no correlation between economic times. People that murder don't sit there and
think
about
it.
They don't look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average before they decide to go out. And you know, there may be people are certainly hard times, but there does not seem to be a correlation. People always say, oh, well, it's raining this weekend, so the bad guys won't be out in the streets. Yeah, except that most crimes committed indoors. So, you know, or it's too hot, or so they're going to be, people are going to be upset because you get irritable when you're too hot and that sort of thing. The correlation tends to be between quality police work and low crime. Those numbers go together. The better the police department, and it's not money that you throw at it. I know the federal government always wants to send stimulus money. It's leadership. It is being willing to buy the equipment and do the training, even if the federal government doesn't pay. It's the quality of the officers. We keep raising standards to join the NYPD. We've built a reputation. Ray Kelly has made sure this department reflects the community from a diversity point of view, so everybody knows it's a great job, and you can get the job if you qualify, and that's the only criteria. And so our police department keeps getting better and better.
Well, we are.
And the results of
that. We are the beneficiaries of the hard work there done by everybody.
Yeah, but it's also nice to know we have Skylar.
It is, exactly. I know I slept better knowing that on Tuesday.
It was funny. I was at the Police Foundation dinner the other night, and Ray Kelly grabs me, and he said, look. And he had on his BlackBerry. He said, Skylar's here.
I had a little trouble with the vision of him rolling in sort of the dirty street, you know, with the slush and everything still around.
Well, no, as pointed out, Daugherty took care of that. Daugherty kept him so his suit would not get damaged when he went out.
Exactly, so I'm sure. We'll get right back to Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Don't forget, before the morning is over, your opportunity to ask a question, 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710. You might want to start getting in line right now. Coming right back. We do indeed continue here on the John Gambling Show Friday. Get together 21 minutes after 8 o'clock. Mayor Michael Bloomberg is here on your front porch yesterday afternoon. There are a whole bunch of folks yelling and screaming about the cuts coming from the state. These were the various unions, teachers, and 1199, and a whole group of them out there calling for basically no cuts from Albany, no cuts in any of those services, and taxing people who make a lot more money.
Well, number one, the first problem is we can tax the rich, except that if you haven't looked at the stock market lately, they aren't making any money.
They're not quite as rich as they used
not
to.
Not quite as rich. Not quite.
A lot not.
A lot not. So, you know, it's nobody's really started to focus on that, even those at the rates, whatever the rate you do tax the wealthy, and we in this country do have progressive taxes, graduated up as at the higher end, and they pay more because they make more, but they pay even a bigger percentage more, and they're not making that money. I think our tax revenues from 2008 to 2010 will fall by $5 billion annually. That is part of people not making money. It's part of businesses not making money. It's part of people not shopping. And, you know, I hear the protesters, you know, I think that deep down inside, I assume they understand that we live in a different world. And my battle with Albany, and I had the state assembly down for dinner at Gracie Mansion last night with our staff so that everybody from the administration could sit at each of the tables, and I went around and I try to spend a few minutes at each table and explain what's going on in the city. We had the state senate down last week, they've got a my battle with them is to make sure the cuts are fairly distributed across all counties, and five counties make up New York City out of 62 counties in the state. For me to sit there and say you shouldn't cut at all is ridiculous. They don't have the money, and the same thing is true at the city. We're going to be fair in terms of how we spread the pain, but there is no question we just don't have the money. And, you know, I've said this before, first rule of taxation is you can't tax those that too much. You can't tax too much those that can move. And a very small percentage of people do account for a big part of our income. We're yelling and screaming about the rich. We want rich from around this country to move here. We love the rich people. They're the ones that buy in the stores so that people that work in the stores have jobs and the stores generate sales tax. The rich are the ones that go to the expensive restaurants as a matter of fact, I looked at a list the other day of restaurants where the staff is unionized. And they're the expensive restaurants. They're not the cheap restaurants. Those people want their jobs, and you'd think their unions probably
have people in the seats.
Yeah, absolutely. So, there's a lot of different issues in terms of people who work hard and don't get paid enough to support their families. But right now, our crisis is a different issue. There's a crisis of confidence in this country, and we somehow or other have to get people to have the confidence that they're not going to lose their jobs and not going to lose their houses. And today, while a small percentage will, and it's very tragic, we have to help them, most people won't, but they are afraid they will. So they're creating the very recession that they're sort of worried about. Our battle at the moment is with the state. For example, the federal government in their stimulus promised money to alleviate some of the cost of Medicaid. Medicaid is the health program for poor people. Medicare is a program, I think it's a little bit simplistic, but for older people, my age. Sorry about that. That's true. And the state, a few years ago, the one thing they really did to help all of the counties in New York was put this cap on growth in Medicaid, where they would pick up the tab for anything over a 3% increase every year. It was the one thing they did to help all of the small counties, as well as New York, deal with the property taxes, which were going crazy. The federal government gives us money, says it should be split the same ways that the obligation to pay Medicaid is split between state and city. The state picks up 66%, two-thirds of the cost of Medicaid, but they want to take 75% of the federal money. And it's what I screamed at Congress, our senators, our congressmen and women. If you give the money directly to the state, we're going to not get our fair share. And lo and behold, that's exactly now. I don't know how it'll all come out in the end, but it's just not fair. And if they want to undo that 3% cap where they're hurting the states, that was one of the few things they really did that made a difference in the county's ability and people's tax bills. Because in most counties outside of New York City, property taxes are the main tax. And here you're just taking away all of the stuff they did to protect those people. It's the smaller counties. We're going to get hurt, but all the smaller counties are just going to get royally hurt.
What was the reaction at your assembly meeting last night and the Senate meeting a week or so ago to that issue?
Well, it's their evenings to sort of get acquainted, and you have some,
everybody's nice.
And you have wine and food, and we have a little bit of entertainment. We have some singers from last night. We had a young lady and a pianist accompanier from the Frank Sinatra High School. We used to have Broadway stars who would volunteer their times, and then I thought about, we have in our public high school singers who are the same quality.
Talents.
And it's a real chance. This one young lady, her mother came, and so we took pictures, and it was very nice. She's applying to college. But it's the state is hurting us, and this is exactly the same thing that happens when you send money through the state. I tried to convince the Obama administration, you send it straight to the cities. They said, oh, no, don't worry about it. I kept saying, There's money. I'm trying to remember which state. There's some floods, one of the Midwest states, and the mayor of the biggest city there was telling me a year and a half later, after federal money went through the state, he still hadn't gotten a dime. I mean, that's just the way it works. They try to spread it around. But in the case of Medicaid, they're using it to balance the budget for other things. And they're not hurting us compared to the other counties. They're hurting all of the counties, because particularly the smaller counties, the way they are trying to take three-quarters of the money, even though they only are – and the intent of Congress was clear. They said so a number of times. Our congressional delegation, senators, congressmen, all said, yeah, this is, should be exactly the ways that the split is now, and in fact, they're not doing it.
So,
surprise.
Exactly. But why wouldn't Washington understand that, seeing, I mean, they see the same
thing.
Now
they pass a bill and they're on to the next thing. Then we got to go and fight.
Yeah.
We got to fight. The real world, John, is, and it's just not for New York City, across the country. Cities provide functions. Most of municipal employees that do provide police protection, fire, sanitation, education, they are employees of cities or in smaller counties, other local governments. The states generally, in the 50 states, they distribute money, allocate monies. They tax everybody and then redistribute it back. It's sort of a Robin Hood plan, if you want to think about it, but it also has to do with their politics and making sure everybody gets some. And then they, you know, both parties, it's nothing partisan here, they just typically try to protect and help the counties where they have more representation so that they can stay in power. And that's just the way democracy works. And, you know, as Winston Churchill said, may not be perfect, but better than any other kind of government. Nevertheless, it's the cities that do the hard lifting. There's a reason why mayors seldom go on to other offices, because mayors have to be there on the, you're either for or against. You can't be on both sides of an issue generally when you're a mayor, and that's why there's turnover, and there's never any turnover in the legislature, but there's turnover. We have term limits in some places, but even without term limits, governors and legislators turn over a lot less frequently, I think, than mayors. Take a look at governors. I'm not sure that number. Somebody should. I'm sure one of the reporters is doing the research right now. It'd be interesting to see whether governors have the same turnover as mayors, but certainly legislators do not, because they don't have to explicitly come out on any one thing.
All right, let me take a break here. We've just about reached the half-hour point. We'll take the break. We'll come back. I've got a long laundry list of questions, kind of follow-ups here about state funding and services, EMS, and all of that. Stick around. We will get to that. And again, let me remind you, there's a one or two slots open, 800-321-0710. If you've got the question, you'll have the mayor, 800-321-0710. Now let's go check on the news. At News Talk Radio 710 WOR, the John Gambling Show, I've got Mayor Michael Bloomberg here on this side of the console. We were talking about the state and budget cuts and this, that, and the other thing. I was reading the other day, are there things in your view, are there areas that you really shouldn't touch, such as ambulance service, EMSs, people's lives on the streets of New York?
And the Health and Hospitals Corporation used to provide ambulance service. We moved it over to the fire department, and response times keep getting better and better. If you remember, we put GPS in every ambulance so that the dispatchers can see on a computer screen where every ambulance is all the time and make sure they get the one that's closest to you. And there's $60 million of emergency medical service money that we get from the state, and now they want to cut it back. And our uniformed EMTs and paramedics and inspectors, this is Medicaid money when we transferred from the hospital system to the fire department, the agreement was the money would follow over to the fire department. Without that, we estimate that instead of a 6.5 minute response time, we'll go up to over 8 minute response time. That's going to cost lives. And
that's what I'm saying. Are there places you just don't go?
I mean, you know, everybody says cut services you don't need, and mine are the most important ones. And that's what I'm hired to do, is to make those hard decisions. You'd like to help everybody, but that's not the real world. You don't cut most things to zero, but you do have to allocate. I can just tell you, if you have a heart attack, you want to get ambulance there pretty quickly. and every second counts. And so we're up in Albany trying to explain that. We went up with the fire department and EMT union yesterday to Albany to the to see the governor's budget office and key lawmakers. And in all fairness, Patterson's budget spokesman, a guy named Matt Anderson, said that the administration is talking with the city to find ways to ensure funding for ambulance services that are to be continued at expected levels. So we'll see what happens. And
are you encouraged that the governor has looked at the fifth tier in the pensions and is maybe thinking of going in that direction?
Well, the law says that it's up to the to Albany to change pension laws. They can't change them for existing employees, but they could have a fifth tier. Traditionally, they talk to the unions before they decide how to vote. The governor put in his budget asking them to the state legislature to vote a fifth tier. Our pension and health care costs for New York City this year are about $6.3 billion for this year. And 7 years from now will be something like $9.6 billion, up 50%. So we've just got to do something about it. And if not now, when? And we just have to get this done. It doesn't hurt anybody who's currently employed. Some of the unions say, well, I don't want a two-tier system for my members. There's already a four-tier system for their members. The reason we're talking about tier five is that one through four exists. So three other times to get tier two, three, and tier four, the legislature did something, and now's the time to do it again.
Corzine said that he's thinking of asking New Jersey employees, because everybody's got the same problem here, to take 2 weeks furlough. Have you considered furloughs in the city?
The only ways you would be able to do that is with the union permission. We have contracts. I don't know what his legal status is, agreements with his state employees are. Here you would have to do it, and my suspicion is they would say, what are you talking about? We're not even going to sit on the table. The sad thing is that at some point we just cannot afford a government the size that we have, and that means fewer employees, because most of our money goes to pay salaries and benefits. There's very little else that our city government does. And if you start cutting more, you're going to hurt services. But that's unfortunately, we by law have to balance the budget. And our tax revenues continue to fall. People say, oh, just raise taxes on the rich. As we said before, number one, they can move. And number two, they aren't making the money. And people say, oh, well, you know, if the income were redistributed throughout the system more fairly, I don't know what fair means. You can argue that if you make more money, you deserve more money. I don't know. But at lower rates, people other than at the very top don't pay as much, so it would hurt us even more.
I hate the fact that so many times, if not each and every week, we spend the majority of our conversation talking about money, but I mean, that's sort of where we are these days.
Well, because we equate money as the ways you measure services.
Success and
When you design an airplane, you decide how much a human life is worth. You can make an airplane that's so safe it'll never crash. It'd also be so expensive nobody could ever afford to fly in it. So there are, those kind of, people don't want to think in that context, but that's exactly what you do.
Training, MTA, what are your Albany folks telling you about what's going to happen there? Is the tolls on the bridges? Is that a done deal?
I don't know how they'll come out, but I will say Shelley Silver said to me back when we had the congestion pricing debates, he'd come up with something else, and he has taken what the governor's guy, Dick Ravitch, governor deserves credit for having Dick Ravitch, who's very smart, do the study. Shelley has taken parts of it and come up with a proposal, and we'll see what the state senate does, and then what the assembly does, and then what the governor does. But at least Shelley is trying to do something about it. Doing nothing means 23% increase in tolls and no improvement in service. As a matter of fact, cutting some services, no improvement in where we go, how fast we go, how comfortable it is. There is no money for capital, even if you just raise fares 23%. That's just a stopgap measure. We just got to solve this problem.
If money is indeed the yardstick in so many different ways, what grade do you give the stock market and where we are in the economy?
There's a crisis.
Or are we just down to a C at this point?
You know, there's a story this morning. There's the definition of a bear market by some people's definition is down 20%. The stock market is down 20% in the 7 weeks since President Obama's inauguration. Now, if you want to go blame President Obama for that, let's get serious. He's only been in office 7 weeks.
You can't give him full credit.
You probably can't give him any credit for that. It takes time. I keep saying the first 100 days is put together a team, and he's trying to do that. Even that in this day and age is very hard. You see, he's having trouble getting people. People don't want the disclosure and the intrusion in their personal lives, and they find it offensive that they sit in front of a congressperson who's unwilling to have their personal finances out in the disclosed and vetted, and they insist that the appointees, and they say, you know, what do I need this for? Which is sad because we can't get the kind of people that we really
miss
need.
All the good people, or not all the good people.
Well, you don't miss all of them. There are people who, you know, listen, my finances are, you know, reasonably public, but it's you've got to go and staff up. And the stock market is saying that there's a crisis of confidence. The stores are saying there's a crisis of confidence. And that's, the president has two jobs really that matter. He can get some people to come up with great ideas. There are lots of smart people around. But it's the president that we look to, not just in the United States, but from around the world, cause he is the leader of the free world, to be the cheerleader, to give us some confidence that even though we've got tough times now, we are going to have a future, and therefore it is a good time to start a business. And he said he'd buy stocks, but, you know, he's got to do that. And the other job he has that it's hard to delegate is working with Congress. In the end, Congress, all legislators, the governor of New York State, he has to talk to the assembly and senators directly. The mayor has to talk to the city council members directly, and the president has to talk. So those are the two things. It's kind of hard to delegate. And, you know, we've got a new young president. Hopefully he'll do a great job. It's much too early to tell, but he says the right things, and he certainly has the ability and the enthusiasm, but you got to give him some time, cut him some slack.
I know that you are a very generous individual personally, and you also look for others to be very instrumental in charitable organizations. There's talk about reducing charitable deductions and what they mean. That seems like a dangerous road.
Yeah,
I
think given what's happening, the endowments of most philanthropic organizations have taken enormous hits, 30-40%. The people that they depend on for new gifts every year have lost an enormous amount of money in the stock market and are very worried, as we said before, about losing their home and their jobs. So they're going to be less philanthropic. And to make it harder by making less deductibility, it doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Let's see here. Schools. I know that the list of New York City schools on the state's bad list has diminished. There are a couple of new schools.
New York City used to have a majority of the schools under review, SUR schools, they're called, schools, S-U-R, S-U-R. And today there are less than half. We've done a very good job. There are always schools that aren't performing, and that's the chancellor's job is to, number one, tell everybody we don't hide anything. Number two, go in and fix them. You're always gonna have a bottom 10%.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah. And you want that. You want to measure. We now, for the first time, as far as I know, any place in the country or the world, we send a report card to every parent every year, grading their school. Now, people at the beginning went crazy. How can you do this? I don't want to. Look, it's your school. It's where your kid goes. These are the facts, whether you like it or not. Better to know than not know. People said, oh, it'll hurt the property values in our neighborhood if they don't have good schools. I said, no. What it'll do is it'll force us to fix the schools. What you've got to do is you've got to put us under pressure. And in fact, graduation rates up, test scores up, crime down, new schools being built. You know, so we are going. We're opening 42 new schools, I think it is, this September, and there's 25 new charters. There's 75 on new schools. Those are the things that matter. And you don't get that without disclosure and accountability. So the public has a right to know. But we grade and tell people. And if there are some bad schools, which, as I said, there's always going to be a bottom 10%, those are ones we're going to focus on.
Do you find that when a school is identified as being failing and needing some remedial work attention right away, that it's fairly easy to turn them around?
Some. And those we work very hard helping the principal and the teachers. And some that you can't, and we close them. That's it.
But you reopened them in just
a different building. Right. You don't throw away the building, but you close the school and you start from scratch.
Is that like going bankrupt going into bankruptcy and you kind of reorganize and come back?
Yeah,
again?
Except that we try to, thanks to some generosity. You talk about philanthropy. Bill Gates and Eli Broad and people like that have given us some money, so we go and we've tried smaller schools, theme schools. I said before, we had the Frank Sinatra School that has provided a pianist and a singer last night. That's one of those theme schools. You want the themes are designed to get the kids interested and come to school. Whether they go into that business someday, great if they do, great if they don't. But at least it makes it more relevant. Elementary school kids, you tell them what to do. High school kids, you have to convince them that it's in their interest to do it. Our biggest problem always in education is middle schools, where the kids half one, half the other.
It's not just
you never know which day which kid's going to show.
Exactly.
And we all have had kids know that.
It's not just in New York City. Mr. Mayor, sit tight. We've got a full bank of phones here. People have questions. We will get to those next.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg with John Gambling on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
Let us get right to the telephones with Mayor Mike. We're going to go to line number 5 right here, and it's Marjorie. Hello, Marjorie.
Good morning, John.
Get right to your question, please, if you would.
Okay, Mayor Mike, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Okay, this is my question. Actually, it's something that occurred recently. My son goes to SUNY Purchase College, and
right.
He's part of a musical orchestra there, and we went to Dizzy's Club and saw them perform, which was wonderful. Spent a little money, and that was nice. But the director of the orchestra told the parents there that we do know this, that there is going to be a hike in the tuition at this period of time.
Well, Marge, what's the question?
Yeah, the question is, they told us that only 10 cents on the dollar of our increase in tuition is actually going to be going to the schools, and the rest is going somewhere else.
Well, this is a state budget. They raise the fees. But I think you can expect increases in tuition every place. Certainly state schools across the country are doing it because everybody's looking for a revenue source, and there's no easy answers for government. I don't know the 10% number. You know, all money's fungible, so you can make cases one way or another. Generally, I'd be surprised if that was true. But I will say that, you know, Purchase is a great school.
All the state schools,
and you know, it's a lot. It may be expensive, and some people can't afford it. But compared to some of the private universities, where the tuition can be 10 times or more, and you get as good an education.
All right, Marjorie, thank you very much. Judy is next here in Manhattan. Go, Judy.
Hi, Mr. Mayor. My quick question is, has the city ever considered starting to charge the employees for their health care and their pension costs, which are so high? After all, I pay for my health care every month, which is a lot of money.
Okay, let's let the mayor answer because I'm almost out of time.
Yes, we're trying to negotiate that deal. Fundamentally, all our municipal employees get a basic health care plan where there's no contribution, no employee contribution. Then if they want more, they can sign up for an additional plan where there is a copay. We'd love to have a copay for all of it. The variety of reasons brings in money, gets people to think twice before they just go, so they only go when they really, they think it's really important to their health, which is a decision you have to make in this day and age. You can only go when you really need it. But it's something we're trying to negotiate with the unions, and so far we've sat across the table, but I can't tell you we've made the progress. I think the progress on things like that will come after the state budget when we see what they do to the city, and then everybody's going to start focusing on the city budget and realize what's going to happen to our workforce.
All right, Judy, good question. Let's go to Barbara. Barbara in Manhattan, you've got the mayor. Quick question, please.
My question has to do with tour buses.
Yep.
Can you please tell me why these buses continue to be licensed and yet they do not meet the emission standards set by city law, Local 41?
I don't know that they don't. I will look into it, Barbara. They certainly should. We need the tour buses. That's, brings people to this.
Don't we have an idling law? Isn't there a
new
idling law?
Yeah, there is an idling law. We're trying to fix the traffic so that it'll go faster so you don't sit in traffic and pollute. If the buses don't, we should certainly focus on finding ways to make them comply with the law. But we do need tour buses. That's part of our economy.
Yeah, no question about it.
We can have everybody go around in horse-drawn carriages. That's the horse build lobby
right.
Again.
Real fast here. Bridget, you've got 10 seconds for the question. Go.
regarding City Council, in your opinion, what percent of New York City taxpayer money is wasted on unnecessary City Council members' pork projects?
Well, it's, number one, it's very small, the number, the amount that goes through the City Council where they say where they want to send money. Number two, every one of those projects, in all fairness, are vetted by the agencies that administer it, so we might have done most of them anyways. So it's one of these things everybody wants to rile against, Bridget, but in all fairness, it's not a big issue.
All right, Mr. Mayor, as usual, the clock never stops. It keeps on ticking, and it's done ticking for us today.
Looking forward to next weekend.
Well,
next
yes,
week.
Indeed. Next Friday.
See you in two parades. Rockaway's Friday, Staten Island Saturday. For Rockaway's Saturday, Staten Island Sunday.
Wear your sneakers. Okay, that's going to do it for me and for Joe Bartlett and J.J. Kennedy for this week. We'll catch up with you Monday morning, 5:30, right here on the John Gambling Show at News Talk Radio 710. W.O.R. Have a good weekend.